morning, House members. Today is the 16th day of the session. Today is March 6, 2006. The assistant chief clerk will call the roll.
Baldwin. Here. Anderson. Anderson. Bagby.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Richtel.
Here.
Brown. Buchanan.
Here.
Buchholz excused. Childers.
Here.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Esquivel.
Gay.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingrey. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinkley. Eichel. Illoway. Jackson. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lucknow. Martin. Martin. McGomey. Mercer. Miley. Miley. Miller.
Excuse.
Miller excused. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Patterson. Peterson. Phil. Phil. Powers. Corbett. Corbett. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Sedlak. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Thompson. Walsh. Horan. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Anderson. Anderson. Sure. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Assistant Chief Clerk. If you would leave the roll call open for a few minutes, I know there are a few people coming in from appropriations. Today we welcome back the Reverend Robin Chance for our prayer of the day. She represents St. Christopher's Episcopal Church here in Cheyenne. Welcome back.
Let us pray. O Heavenly God, you have blessed us and given us dominion over all the earth, especially this state of Wyoming. Increase our reverence before the mystery of life and give us new insight into your purposes for those who live and work in our cities and rural areas. Grant that your presence be known as this governing body seeks new wisdom and determination in making provision for the future of this state in accordance with your will to the honor and glory of your infinite power. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you.
House will come back to order, please. Mr. Reading Clerk, would you read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 3rd, 2006 has been read and recommends it to be approved. Signed, Representative Coggles, Representative Swartz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 197, Mr. Speaker, the budget bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended format the vote indicated. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1, the bill is not engrossed, and the adopted Senate amendments are being transmitted with the bill. Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations 2, Ayes 27, Noes 3, signed 9, O'Reilly, Senate Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Doctor of the day is Dr. Mark Wurzel from Powell. Nurse of the day is Tobin Nisbet from the Mobile Health Care Service of Cheyenne. Let's welcome them.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative
Lopnow. Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
You may please proceed.
It's not often somebody comes all the way down here from Gillette, Wyoming to visit us. But I've got a real special pleasure today. There are two people from Gillette, Wyoming. It gives me a great deal of pride to introduce sitting over in the north stands. And that would be my sister Kate and somebody who survived three different kinds of cancer, two heart attacks, and raising me, my mother, Cynthia Lupno.
Welcome to the house. I was sure he'd be, he was a trial to raise, but I didn't realize to that degree. You did a good job. Thank you again. Committee reports.
Mr. Speaker.
Pardon me, Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege to the floor.
You may please proceed.
Thank you. That's, I guess it's getting redundant, but it's not often folks come all the way from Teton County. But we have in the gallery behind me Gary Conner, who is on the school board, been on the school board several years, and is running a very active campaign for Congress. I'd like you to welcome him here.
And welcome to the House. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, the Courtesy Committee, met last Friday and worked out the details of the finances of the House Courtesy Fund. And sometime during the day, you will get a memorandum on your desk from Sharon Novak. And it is your share of the courtesy fund. It's everyone's share of the courtesy fund. Each one of these are personalized depending on whether you have legislative aides or not. Sharon can accept checks made out to the House of Representatives, or she can accept cash. But the page Barbara Warren will be coming around sometime this afternoon and pick up your checks or cash. And the reason I'm announcing this morning is so that you have the lunch hour to get things together so that you can pay for your share of the courtesy fund. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Harvey. Chairman Walzerberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not very often.
Would you like the privilege of the floor?
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, it's not very often that we ask for the privilege of the floor. Mr. Speaker, can I have the privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not very often that we have such a distinguished man from my hometown in the South Gallery. We have the Associate Superintendent of Campbell County School District, Dr. Larry Heslop. And Dr. Heslop, would you stand up with me? Dr. Heslop is the best instructional leader in the state of Wyoming. He's also the most successful wrestling coach in the state of Wyoming. And also, Mr. Speaker, standing beside, sitting beside him is Dr. Mark Wurzel from Powell and his lovely daughter, Sarah. He is the doctor of the day. Please stand up, Dr. Wurzel.
And welcome to the House. introduction and referral of Senate File 1. Mr. Reading Clerk, please read the bill.
And Senate File Number 1 from the Appropriations Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2006 and ending June 30th, 2008.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Senate File 1 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davison.
I have privilege of the floor.
You may. Please proceed.
I'm not introducing my daughter. She's going to be here in jail for a couple of days, Kelly Davison. You're all welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege to the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We talked about this Friday, but this is the State of Wyoming Crisis Response Guidelines. There's several copies in the round. I think the floor leader has one. I think there's one in the Speaker's office. Patty has one. If you would like to see them, we're not going to just pass them around because they do get lost. But if you'd like to see one, I've got one. And feel free to take a look at them. If you have any thoughts on the guidelines, please let us know. This is a product of your legislature, Select Committee on Legislative Facilities. And one of the reasons that you didn't all get copies. We are trying to be very fiscally responsible, and Kinko's charged us out of the way for a few copies, so we didn't decide to go ahead and get any more copies done.
Thank you, Chairman Alloway.
Representative Lockhart. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I've seen a number of these come back. These are the racially pure forms. I appreciate everybody that's done that. I have some more forms because some people might have lost their forms in the paperwork that we've been handling here. And if you need another one, I've got them. I'd sure like to wrap that up by Wednesday this week. Thank you very much for your support so far and that to come.
Standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2 Appropriations to the House read referred Senate File 34 and goes. Pursuant to House Rule 8-5 is considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Eyes, Jones, Jorgensen, Wiley, Peterson, Phelps, Simpson, Warren, excuse, Berger, Sign, Representative Phelps, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2 Appropriations to the House referred. Referred Senate File 64 and goes pursuant to House Rule 8-5 is considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows to pass. Byes, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Phelps, Simpson, Warren, excuse, Berger, signed Representative Phelps, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2 on Appropriations to whom is referred Senate File 100 pursuant to House Rule 8-5 is considered the amount of the appropriation and reports back as follows. Byes, Jones, Jorgensen, Miley, Peterson, Phelps, Simpson, Warren, excuse, Berger, signed Representative Phelps, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Conference Committee for HB 1, the Appropriations Bill. Representative Phelps, Chair. Anderson, Martin, Warburg, and Simpson. Representative Phelps, Chair. Anderson, Martin, Warburg, Simpson. Now that order of business, bills on second reading. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3 introduced by the Select Department Health Committee and Act related to professional health services.
Senate File 3 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? There is no objection. It is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5 introduced by the Management Council and Act relating to the Legislature Privileged Communications.
Senate File 5 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? There is no objection. So ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6 introduced by the Management Council and Act relating to state employee benefits.
Senate File 6 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered.
next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10 introduced by the Corporation Committee and Act relating to counties, county commissioners, staff.
Senate File 10 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, should the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 11.
Senate File 11 introduced by the Revenue Committee and Act relating to taxation and revenue. Property tax intangibles for 2006.
Senate File 11 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, should the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18 introduced by the Agriculture Committee and Act relating to public lands regarding misuse of state lands.
Senate File 18 has an amendment. Second reading amendment number 1. Representative Bertel, would you care to move that amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 1 to House Bill 108. Second reading amendment to Senate File 18. And I ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Chairman, this my concern with the wording in this is that with the removal of those words, I was taking out the standing committee amendment, that it reduces the standard to the point that school children out picking up nine phones would be breaking the law. And all I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, is that we just insert those few words just to increase the standard again so that the statute would actually be amenable to and not so restrictive that the law would actually be just ridiculous. And for that, I would stand for question.
Chairman Hageman, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I guess that what you'd have to decide, which does make this a stronger law, we are seeing a lot more damage on state lands, and they're having a lot more problems with it. And they asked us to take this wording out here, and they believed it was a stronger law without this wording. I guess it's up to the voter to decide, but we do are seeing a lot more use of state lands, a lot more people are using, a lot more people are driving on it. A lot more people are going on there, even cutting firewood and so on. And I guess what you'd have to decide, which does make this law the stronger law, I would speak against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I urge the body to resist this amendment and support the bill. We had some great discussions to great lengths with the state land board, and this was their recommendation. And I was just talking to that office over there today, and they need this bill so badly because, of course, we know that you can destroy federal land on BLM, and Forest Service be arrested. You can destroy land on private land, of course, be arrested on state parks, and national parks, and be arrested with state land. These little problems, they were telling me today about they just spent $15,000 of state money to rehabilitate some land, and they know the people that damaged it, and there's nothing they can do about it, and they know this language is in there, Mr. Speaker, and they are very satisfied with it, and I would rather just stay with the language that's suggested by the rules and regulations of the state land board, and I'm comfortable, and I don't see anywhere in there that a kid picking up pine cones is going to be illegal. Of course, that's not what it's for. I agree. As you resist this amendment, please.
Thank you. Representative Brown, for your first time.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think it's important for us to remember our role with state lands. These are lands that we hold in trust. They're dedicated really to one purpose and one purpose only, and that's support of the common school. We have a responsibility to preserve these lands for that purpose. In the 80s, a decision was decision was made that we were going to allow public recreation and some sorts of public activities on these lands until then. You couldn't be on the rule without changing the rules. Came public activities on that land, on those lands, but with that change also shifted a responsibility from the lessee to this body to be concerned with the well-being of those lands. So that responsibility falls on us. It's our responsibility. We hold these lands in trust for a specific purpose. The public can engage on activities there to the extent that it's not inconsistent with that purpose. When we made that change in the 80s, we took on the responsibility, and I think we're going to spend a lot more money than we've ever spent. Looking in the future, I see more and more costs coming to maintain these lands. And if we're going to maintain these lands for the purpose that we're constitutionally required to do so, then we're going to have to spend some money. We're going to have to have some enforcement. We're going to have some rigorous activity to protect them. And as a part of that, we need these penalties. We need the ability to enforce these rules and regulations. So I would resist the amendment and urge you to support the bill as it is.
Aaron Ellis for the first time. First time. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wouldn't stand against the amendment. Also, I was concerned as the good representative from Natrona County with the wording in the Ingalls bill. And in doing some research, I discovered that the Sky Standing Committee amendment does make the bill stronger and takes care of my concerns about an individual just being out there leisurely picking up pine cones, for example. And if you look on the House Standing Committee amendment, page 3, lines 13, where it adds while engaged in hunting, fishing, or casual recreational uses of state lands, I think that really takes care of the issue. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time, Chairman Hageman.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I would urge you to vote against this amendment. It just simply makes it that much tougher to punish somebody who does violate the use of state land, and that's what we're up here to do, and that's what this bill is here to do, is to make it so our state lands are protected. So I'd urge you to vote against this amendment.
Representative Bracknell, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, if you just read what it says in there, any person who removes forest products from state land, for example, that sounds pretty blunt, and I think that it just goes too far, Mr. Speaker, and I would urge the body to consider not voting this down. I urge your support of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 18. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is not adopted. Senate File 18, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate Bill 27, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to motor vehicle insurance verification.
Senate File 18 has some amendments. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File, Senate File 27 has some amendments. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 27. Representative Lucknow, would you care to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to Senate File 27 and ask for your positive consideration. As you recall, we discussed on late Friday afternoon, the language contained on page 3, paragraphs or lines 13 and 14, that says the information contained in the verification system should not be considered a public record. What that required then was each prosecutor in the state of Wyoming to call the custodian of that public record to testify, to overcome a hearsay objection, to admit that information subsequently in a criminal prosecution. What this amendment does is it amends the Public Records Act to say that this information is not available through Public Records Act request by adding some language in 16.4403D10
and then deleting the language that says that this information is not a public record, so that it's only available, and then providing that it's only available for inspection, as provided by the Public Records Act. And the purpose of that is it allows law enforcement personnel, public agencies, for purposes of conducting official business, the person in interest or pursuant to a court order to have access to that information and no one else.
Chairman Edwards, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this a friendly amendment. I believe it does, in fact, include the bill. I vote for you. Vote aye.
Everyone else for their first time. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry it took God. Thank you. As I understand the amendment, it would make it a public record for purposes of prosecution. And I understand that it is a problem in Wyoming today where if someone says, if they're asked, do you have insurance? And they say, I think I do. You can't disprove that. So the prosecution is left in a very difficult position. I'm just wondering if this amendment goes too far, or exactly how far it goes, in that in a situation where someone is pulled over, cited for speeding, and they appear in court and contest that, and they're asked on the stand if they testify on their own behalf, did you have insurance? And they say, I think so. And then the next step is the prosecutor says, well, not according to the database, you didn't, and then I'm going to charge you with perjury because you lied. And you're also being charged with violation of the insurance provisions. So if I can have some more explanation about that, I would appreciate it.
Anybody else for the first time? First time. Second time. Representative Bumnell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, pro tem, was the scenario, I guess, pretty close to exactly what I intended. I want to make it possible through this amendment for prosecutors to prosecute people who don't have insurance by being able to introduce that information from the database in court. The purpose of this statute is to provide for verification of insurance, and this just takes it a step further to allow law enforcement, once they've verified that insurance, to be able to use it in court without calling the custodian of the record to do that and overcoming the hearsay objection. That's what the purpose of this statute is. We have to make a policy decision in this state, and that is, do we want our motor vehicle drivers to have insurance under a compulsory automobile insurance statute? And if it becomes impossible to prosecute under that statute, then perhaps it's best that we just repeal the statute totally. If, on the other hand, it is the intent of this state to prosecute people who don't have insurance, then I'd suggest we pass this amendment so that the prosecutors have the tools they need to prosecute the crimes for which they're prosecuting.
Anyone else for this? Would be the second time. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to have Senate Bill 27. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment carries. Senate Bill 27 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, the bill be read a third time. There is no objection. So ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 31.
Senate Bill 31, introduced by the Revenue Committee, enacting taxation and revenue regarding intangible property definitions.
Senate Bill 31 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, the bill be read a third time. Hearing no objection. So ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 39.
Senate Bill 39, introduced by Senator Case, enacting the Fraudulent Transfers Act.
Senate Bill 39 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, the bill be read a third time. Hearing no objection. So ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Bill 40.
Senate Bill 40, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, enacting the Judicial Retirement.
Senate Bill 40 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for consideration, Senate Bill 45.
Senate Bill 45, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to environmental pesticide control.
Senate Bill 45 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for consideration, Senate Bill 47.
Senate Bill 47, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to health care providers' loan repayments.
Senate Bill 47 has been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for consideration, Senate Bill 49.
Senate Bill 49, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to motor vehicle licenses, ignition interlock devices.
Senate Bill 49 does have an amendment. Second reading, amendment number one to Senate Bill 49. Representative Lubnow, do you care to move the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move committee for the whole amendment number one to Senate Bill 49 and urge a positive consideration. This is a pure policy consideration for this body. The way that Senate File 49 is presently drafted, there's an exception from interlock devices that says that you can operate a company motor vehicle without the interlock device. Now, you have to understand that the point that you get to with an interlock device right now, if this statute passes, would be a second offense DUI, a refusal on a first offense DUI, or an offense similar to that. For first offense, driving under the influence where somebody doesn't have an implied consent violation, they can now get a provisional license which allows them to drive to and from work and a half day on Saturday to do your laundry and get groceries, those types of things. So that type of license is available. So what we're looking at for driving your vehicle at work is more serious crimes. And where I'm from, they call it the land of the white half-ton four-wheel drive pickup with the company logo on the side. And the policy decision that I'm asking you to make is if you defeat this amendment, then people will be allowed to drive company vehicles without an interlock device after they've had second offense DUIs or they've refused, but their own personal vehicle will have an interlock device. What this amendment does is it deletes entirely that exception, and the only vehicle that you can drive is a vehicle equipped with an interlock device. And so the policy decision that I'm asking you to consider is for those more serious offenses where you have to have an interlock device in order to get a license back. Do you want those people to be able to drive company vehicles without an interlock device or not?
I ask for the first time, Representative Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would actually urge the body to resist this amendment at this time. There's a couple of things to look at. One is that it's not all according to the CDL vehicle, it says, which is the commercial driver's license. Already under federal law, you wouldn't be able to operate those even with an unlocking device. This is tractor trailers, buses, dump trucks, pickups, hauling hazardous waste, or requiring placards, things along these lines. They're not affected by this, and so let's not visualize someone driving one of those. What I would like to is that one of the points of this piece of legislation was giving these people the ability to, an option to get to and from work. Now, oftentimes, you're right, at the job site, there will be a vehicle that you may have to operate, but it's about getting to and from work so that your family isn't devastated for, you know, the 3 months of not being able to work. It's a policy issue, and I'm not I wouldn't say that it's okay, and then I'm also not going to say that there is a possibility, an outside chance, that someone could take their company truck to the bar and do that, but that's there even now. But I would say that this is an amendment that I don't think is necessarily needed at this time, but it will be something that's up to this body to decide.
Hearing else for the first time. First time. Second time. or is that Lubna for your second? Or Jared Edwards, did you wish to speak for your first time?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just don't see this as necessary. You know, we can continue to try to fix these bills a little by little. There's always going to be somebody that's going to figure out some stupid way to get drunk and drive a car. And I just don't think we can cover every single instance, and I feel like this is an attempt to refine it and keep refining it and keep legislating against stupidity. Thank you.
That's for the first time, once again. Second time. Representative Lobdell, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a pretty big loophole. If you want to drive a company vehicle without an ignition interlock device, you can. And that's what the statute allows. If you want people to have interlock devices for these serious offenses, pass this amendment. And that will be the only vehicle that they're licensed to drive.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1, that's Senate File 49. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. Senate File 49 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by the Education Committee, that relates to private school licensing amendments.
Senate File 69 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 80.
Senate File 80, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming National Guard Emergency Management Assistance Call Act.
Senate File 80 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 83.
Senate File 83, introduced by Senator Hawks, an act relating to public funds, industrial development bonds.
Senate File 83 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 92.
Senate File 92, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to travel expenses for state officers and employees.
Senate File 92 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Now, with that order of business, a request from the Senate to concur. First concurrence message we'll deal with is message number 195, dealing with House Joint Resolution number 4. Representative Felt, would you care to make that motion?
Mr. Speaker, I will move adoption of message number 195, H.J. 4. And ask that you do not concur. I think we can go and talk to the Senate and see what they get by this amendment. And this joint resolution is the one that makes it so that the Public Member Trust Fund is inviolate. And then they added some other language after inviolate. They added secure burden perpetual funds of the state. And I'd just like to be sure about what they mean by that. And I don't want to cause confusion when this goes to the electorate. But Mr. Speaker, I would stand for questions.
Anyone else for their first time or for questions? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to let the body know, we did have some quite a few discussions about the word inviolate and the Joint Appropriations Committee and Management Council, I believe, about this, and ultimately came down with let's leave it as it is without adding additional language. But I would agree with the House Appropriations Chair.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Felt for your second time.
Just once again, Mr. Speaker, I would ask you to vote no.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 4. Majority of those elected is required to accept. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard.
Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley, Eichel, Galloway, Galloway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller excused, Gordon, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Philp, Powers, Corbett, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Galloway? Aye to no. Gilmore? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 3 ayes, 54 noes, 3 excused.
By your vote, you voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Charge Resolution Number 4. Conference Committee for House Charge Resolution Number 4 will be Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Cohey Chair, Jones, and Robinson. Now, in that order of business, the bills on third reading and final passage, the consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the following bills to a consent list for third and final reading. Senate File 7, Senate File 15, Senate File 20, Senate File 22, Senate File 23, Senate File 41, Senate File 42, Senate File 43, and Senate File 59.
Does anyone wish to remove any of those bills from the consent list? Seeing none, Mr. Reading Clerk, would you read the bills on the consent list?
Senate Bill 7 introduced by the Select Committee on Health and Act relating to the Department of Family Services DFS contract for residential services juveniles being enacted by the legislature of the state of Maryland. Senate Bill 15 introduced by the Agriculture Committee and Act relating to agriculture and animals livestock use registration being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 20 introduced by the Corporation Committee and Act relating to insurance products, interstate insurance product regulation compact being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 22 introduced by the Corporation Committee and Act relating to the Electrical Board membership being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 23 introduced by the Corporation Committee and Act relating to violations of electrical licensing code penalties being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 41 introduced by the Judiciary Committee and Act relating to child support enforcement income withholding amendments being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate Bill 42 introduced by the Mineral Committee and Act relating to public funds investments being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File Number 43 introduced by the Judiciary Committee and Act relating to criminal justice forensic evaluations being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 59 introduced by the School Facilities Committee and Act relating to school capital construction building condition assessments being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Have been read 3 separate times. The question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barter, Berger, Bechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Buholtz excused, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Hirschman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Eichel, Billaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Samuelson. Samuel. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Swanitzer. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 7, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 15, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 20, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 22, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 23, are there any changes? Alden, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 2 noes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 41, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 42, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 43, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to Senate File 59, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
I receive the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House held Senate File 7, 15, 20, 22, 23, 41, 42, 43, and 59 have passed the House. Members of the House, we're going to take a break from our regular business this morning and in memory of the great man that passed away earlier this year, late last year. You know, we lost one of our great leaders when Governor Hathaway passed away. And we are going to take a moment this morning to remember and honor the great contributions that he has made to Wyoming. Joining us today to pay tribute to this man are Stan's daughters, Susan Hathaway, Garrett, and Sandra Hathaway D'Amico. Susan's husband, Glenn, and the daughters, Bethany and Meg, are also in attendance, as is Sandra's husband, Chris, and his daughter, and their daughter, Christine, and other members of Stan's extended family. Come on out, let's welcome you, right? Thank you much for joining us. We're going to take just a few moments, and I'm going to read from a joint memorial that the Wyoming Legislature has signed, which is largely to commemorate and remember your father's father-in-law's, and as well as grandfather in some cases, service to Wyoming. This is a joint memorial providing recognition of the Honorable Stanley Knapp Hathaway, former Governor of Wyoming and United States Secretary of the Interior, in celebration of a life lived with an overpowering sense of duty and commitment to serve others, honoring an individual who embodied selfless dedication to Wyoming, expressing the deepest appreciation of the Wyoming Legislature for his contributions to his community, the state, and the nation, and conveying the depth of our sorrow to his family's loss on behalf of the people of Wyoming. Be it resolved by the 58th Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Whereas Stan Hathaway was born on July 19, 1924, in Osceola, Nebraska, the fifth of six children born to Robert and Lily Knapp, and was adopted at the age of two when his mother passed away by his first cousin, Velma Hathaway, and her husband, Earl, whom he regarded as mother and father, and who brought him to his beloved Wyoming, where they homesteaded near home. And whereas Stan Hathaway attended a one-room country school in Table Mountain and New Fairview, Wyoming, and graduated as the valedictorian of Huntley High School in 1941. And whereas he showed bravery at a young age, after learning of the bombing of Pearl Harbor when he attempted to enlist in the military at the age of 17, but was turned away for being too young. He consequently attended the University of Wyoming for a year, then enlisted in the Army Air Corps. And whereas Dan Hathaway served with unwavering courage and distinction during World War II as a radio operator and gunner assigned to the 8th Air Force 401st Heavy Bombardment Group, whose rank suffered high casualties with only a 50% survival rate. And it was within the 401st that he participated in 35 successful combat missions over France and Germany, and was honored as the recipient of the French Croix de Guerre, U.S. Presidential Unit Citations, and 5 Air Medals. And whereas, after his discharge from the Air Corps, Hathaway continued his undergraduate legal education at the University of Nebraska, where he met his wife, Roberta Bobby Harley, and the two were married on November 25, 1948. A marriage of 57 years that was regarded as a true partnership, with Stan commenting throughout his life that had not been for Bobby, there would never be a Stan Hathaway, certainly a Governor Hathaway. And whereas following his graduation from law school in 1950, Stan and Bobby moved to Torrington, Wyoming, where Stan established his law practice and was elected Goshen County Attorney in 1953, a position he held up until 1962. And whereas Stan Hathaway was elected as the 27th Governor of Wyoming in 1966, serving 2 terms through 1974, the legacy of his years in that office endure today, and he is fondly remembered as one of Wyoming's greatest governors, presiding over the reorganization of state government and the passage of several key environmental laws, and whereas he was instrumental in enacting Wyoming's first mineral severance tax in 1969, and a constitutional amendment creating the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund in 1974, which he will be long remembered as the father of Wyoming's Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. And whereas, after retiring from the governor's office, Hathaway was nominated and served under President Gerald Ford as United States Secretary of the Interior in 1975, serving as Wyoming's first federal cabinet officer, where he reinvigorated the federal coal leasing program, allowing more coal leases to become available in Wyoming, creating the state status as the nation's leader in the coal industry. Whereas, in recognition of Stan and Bobby Hathaway's contributions to higher education, in 2005, the Wyoming legislature created the Hathaway Student Scholarship Endowment Account to provide scholarships for Wyoming high school graduates in order to assist in them receiving a college education. And whereas, Wyoming lost one of its greatest leaders on October 4, 2005, when Stanley Knapp Hathaway passed away after a lengthy illness, at the age of 81, leaving a deep void in the hearts of all those who had the privilege and honor to know him. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming, the Wyoming legislature honors Stanley K. Hathaway's memory for his outstanding record of service and leadership to our state, and express the deepest sympathies to his family, as we express our greatest appreciation and gratitude for his years of service to his community, this state, and this nation. That Stan Hathaway will be honored for his character and values that were fashioned from a humble upbringing, his experience in the Great Depression, his sacrifices in World War II, his honesty and his integrity in the practice of law, and his commitment to public service. That this memorial be transmitted to Stan Hathaway's daughters, Susan and Sandra, and that they may know the sense of sorrow and loss suffered by the people of Wyoming by virtue of his passing, and that we recognize that our deepest gratitude cannot possibly begin to diminish his absence, but they may know that Stan's service to Wyoming has richly enhanced the well-being, prosperity, and the people of Wyoming. And his memory will live in the hearts of the members of the Wyoming legislature and all the people of Wyoming who continue to be beneficiaries of his lasting legacy. It is my honor to present you with this resolution. Please, would you like to address the House, please?
Appreciate it very much. We just want to thank you for this honor, and every time we hear about the Hathaway Scholarship in the news, we feel a lot of pride, as I know people around the state do. We miss Dad a lot, and he misses all of you, I'm sure. Thanks. Thank you for this beautiful memorial. This would mean a lot to Mom and Dad. Thank you for remembering all the things that they did for the state. They love the state very much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be here as we present this to you. Best to you. You got great memories and you got a great future, as we all do. Thank you again. Now that order of business of third reading and final passage of bills on the regular list. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by the Transportation Committee and Act related to Driver's Education Course Certification and enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 29 has been read three separate times. The question is, shall this bill pass the House? Chief Clerk from Colorado.
Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Reptile, Brown, Buchanan, Ewald's excuse, Childers, Mr. Majority for Leader, Mr. Majority for Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hageman, Hammonds, Rushway, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Blubnow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, excused, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Esquivel, Hageman. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 29, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 29 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 56.
Senate File 56, introduced by the Judiciary Committee and Act relating to involuntary commitments, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 56 has a couple of amendments. The first one is delete the enactment clause. We'll take that up second. Second reading or third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 56. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, do you care to move that amendment?
Please, Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 56. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been studying Title 25 issues for a couple of years, and as a member of the Judiciary Committee, we started down that path, and we've studied the concept here in Senate File 56, which is really the cost shifting to the state after a certain period of time from the counties, and that's on page 4 of the bill. It indicates that the county's liability for any costs of detention, treatment, or transportation shall at the time the emergency detention is ordered, would shift to the Department of Health in the state of Wyoming, and the department should be responsible for those costs. And at also page 4913, we've indicated that the county attorney shall notify the department within 24 hours of the continued emergency detention order, and that all costs of treatment, transportation, and continued emergency detention incurred after the continued emergency detention should be paid by, and essentially, the state or the person if they have assets. I bring a third reading amendment to go to a different section of the bill and actually add or delete a current statutory language in the statute, which is in 2510.115. And on the amendment, you can see at line 22, that is section 2 of the amendment. It deletes 2510.115b. Let me read you what section 115 is. Subsection A is transfer of patients to another hospital. And it says a hospital may transfer a patient hospitalized under this act to another hospital if the transfer is in the best interest of the patient. An involuntarily hospitalized patient who is so transferred retains the status of an involuntarily hospitalized patient under 2510.110. I think we can all agree that that's good language in subsection A. That a hospital may transfer a patient hospitalized if the transfer is in the best interest of the patient. Well, you don't see that happening. What you see is a transfer of someone to, typically, the state hospital as an involuntary commitment. Subsection B of this section says this, and this is where the concern comes in about the particular amendment, but this is a choice we need to make. Not less than 5 days before a patient is transferred, the head of the hospital shall give written notice to the court, the patient, and the person responsible for his care or custody. The notice shall include the grounds for the transfer, the patient's right to contest the transfer, the patient's right to a hearing before he is transferred, and the patient's right to counsel. That is the due process that is built into 2510.115 for the transfer of a patient hospitalized to another hospital. Well, if those persons treating the person at the hospital think, we can't treat this person, we believe it is in their best interest to transfer them to another hospital. Subsection B requires a 5-day waiting period, a notice of the grounds for the transfer, the right to contest the hearing, the right to a hearing before they're transferred. When we're charging $2,500 a night for a hospital stay, this provision, 2510.115, is never used. People aren't transferred that way. It seems logical that we ought to be able to transport people to better treatment if it's in their best interest. And that can include a transfer of somebody from West Park Hospital in Cody to the state hospital, or even one of the facilities in Central Wyoming that we often use. Thank you. I'm certainly not opposed to due process at all. I'm all for due process. And there is due process in Title 25 on someone that a petition for involuntary hospitalization is filed against them. They have the right to the emergency detention hearing if they're found that they're mentally ill as defined by the statute. They're then entitled to a jury trial if they wish. Most all of the time, persons go voluntarily. If we're truly interested in a system that helps people get the help they need as quickly as possible, 2510.115 doesn't achieve that. What you're seeing around the state are county attorneys and facilities who are acting in the patient's best interest, but contrary to Wyoming law. And you can argue that the details and the technicalities of transfers and where does the Title 25 proceeding have to occur. But in actuality, what we found, at least in the Select Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse, when we looked at these issues, was, you know, our public officials in Wyoming have taken it upon themselves to achieve the best interest treatment for these people. And I know that in my county, if we didn't have the 5-day notice period and those types of things, people would be transferred. And actually, they're starting to be transferred. And they used to be transferred if they voluntarily agreed to go. I believe the crux of the policy choice, you can compare it to someone who's in the hospital voluntarily. It has something to do with the physical condition, okay? You have a coronary condition and you can't receive the treatment you need in your community hospital. They're not going to transfer you involuntarily. I mean, you have to agree. That is your right. Under Title 25, when you're placed in a hospital on an involuntary application, does then that same logic follow that you can't be placed unless you voluntarily agree to go? I mean, there are certainly, and I've represented Title 25 patients, and as recently as a couple months ago, and I would tell you that person didn't even have the capacity at that time to know what the choice was or the consent. And so I think this is something we could look at that would allow for greater treatment in our facilities and better treatment for people if it is truly in their best interest. And the rest of the amendment simply allows that to occur, but the crux of it is Section 2, the repeal of 115B.
Chairman Landon, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the reasons outlined by the Speaker Pro Tem, I support this amendment. I believe that it is in the person's best interest. In order to act in that best interest, it has to be timely. And that's what is being eliminated here, is that time of waiting and that hearing. It's just, I think that there's a certain amount of discretion that we give to various people doing their jobs, and I think in this case, the hospitals, and it's been my experience that they try to do what's best for the patient, but I think that this will enable them to do that.
Representative McCauley, for your first time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I just want some assurance from the bringer of the amendment that this isn't going to change the intent, because this is quite a bit different than what the bill started out to be, as I saw it. We have, in our community, for instance, we have a psychiatric hospital, and people are admitted to the psychiatric hospital. And if they transfer them, say, to Evanston, where the state then takes over the payment, a lot of the treatment has to be started all over again, the evaluations and things. And if they can keep them in that psychiatric hospital, they save the individual a lot of time, and they still receive the treatment. But the way it was worded in the past, the county, as long as they stayed in Lander, or Riverton, people stayed in Lander, the county was having to pick up all those costs. And I think that's where this bill started from. And I just want assurance that when we got in there, something was in the statute book and not in the bill, and they didn't say that we didn't mess with that. But thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Second time. time. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't believe it changes the intent of the bill at all. It actually, the bill, the way it's written, includes the state hospital and then defines, and this is an important part of Senate File 56, where it talks about another licensed treatment facilities on page 2, throughout page 2. So that includes those local providers that you're talking about in Fremont County. Fremont County seemed to give it a little problem where they were contracting with the private providers, thinking they were saving money if they weren't. That's what it seemed to me. But certainly there's lots of room in Wyoming for private providers to provide this service to people. The Senate has an amendment on, and I think the good representative from Torrington brought this amendment that says the $1 million appropriation for that's tied to this bill, really. The Senate has this in their budget bill. That $1 million is tied to appropriation of creation of standards that would apply to these other licensed treatment facilities. I mean, certainly we have standards, and it won't be hard to apply those to other treatment facilities. So it doesn't change the intent of the bill. It will allow for local provision of these services if you have them in your counties, and maybe even the creation of those. We're going to see the face of mental health treatment and Title 25 treatment change in Wyoming over the next 10 years, and it's changing right now. We're moving away from commitments to the state hospital. We're moving to more localized, centralized, and even some local treatment. And House Bill 91, the Mental Health and Substance Abuse, attempts to localize some of those things, too.
We are voting on second reading and third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 56. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Amendment is adopted. We're now on third reading amendment number 1. Senate File 56, Mr. Speaker,
pro tempore. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I withdraw third reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 56, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Anderson. Maggie. Barnard. Berger. Reptile. Brown. Buchanan. Ewald's excused. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Parchman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Michael, Billaway, Jackson Excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Barton, McComey, Mercer, Wiley, Miller Excused, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Anderson, Peterson, Felt, Powers, Thorberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanson, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
Senate File 56, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, Senate File 56 has passed the House. Representative Robinson.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is with great pride that I ask you to stand and welcome a group of students from a high school in my district, House District 58, from Roosevelt High School, Michelle Nicole, and quite a few students from Roosevelt High School. Please welcome them.
Welcome to the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61.
7561 introduced by the Travel Committee and Act relating to the Paramutual Commission Authority and enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 61 have been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Barnard, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Ewald's excused, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Eichel, Illoway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Lambden, Lockhart, Lubno, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Wiley, Miller, excused, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Orberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Smonitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
Senate File 61 have received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House. Senate File 61 has passed the House. Members of the House, through mutual agreement between the House and the other body at the other end of the Capitol, Committee of the Whole will be extended for one additional day. So instead of today being the end of Committee of the Whole, it will actually be tomorrow. May it be throughout. We're now in that order of business of explanation of the... Oh, wait. Standing committee report, please.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2 on appropriations has reviewed House Bill 1, presented to House Rule 14-E1 and 2. The following lists are provided. Identical amendments in the poll or the other adopted amendments. Senate File number 1.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. We're now at that order of business of explanation of the amendments and the difference between the House and the Senate. Chairman Felton, you wish to lead that discussion and explanation. And as they're getting organized, you're passed out to you a long piece of handout. It has House District 21. You may refer to that. It's going to be referred to as the cheat sheet as you look at the different amendments and to go through the explanation.
Mr. Speaker,
Chairman Felt.
I should have also on your desk have a sheet table one page that has my name on the top that says major difference scores and millions on the left hand side of it at the top. And, Mr. Speaker, if there's another, not a 4-page or 5 pages that has Simpson at the top says, on the left hand side, top and bold, it says fiscal profile for 05, 06, and 07, 08 without various House bills. You should also put that on your desk. And Mr. Speaker, President Simpson, I'll talk about what we call in JAC the white rod, which has his name on it. And he'll explain to talk about that a little bit, kind of give you an idea of the big picture. And the other one that has my name on it, the one major, it kind of is major differences between the two houses. And I'll talk about the cheat sheet, which gets into some of those smaller differences.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem,
thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The white road, I have circled under the line total traditional funds available. You see there, the House position is 3.3, the Senate 3.5. The difference there is because it's about $126 million, and that is because that amount is the House's position on the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund that flows directly from the severance tax into the PMTF, so it does not show up as revenue to the general fund or the budget reserve account. And that's why we're $126 million below the center on total funds available. And that also then translates down into total funds appropriated of about really the same amount, $126 million, because we do not appropriate that. You can see the difference on the line 2006 budget bill, BRA, Budget Reserve Account Appropriations. We are at $347 million, and the Senate is at $494. That's about $150. That is some of this PMTF money, and then other budget, other appropriations from the Budget Reserve Account. On the bottom of page 1, you see the status of the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account. The House is at 272 and the Senate at 211. And then Water Development Accounts 1, 2, and 3. And we're quite close on those two amounts, a difference of $5 million. And that's because the Senate position is $30 million for Water 3, and the House is from the Budget Reserve Account. And the House's position is $25 million from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account. That's on that one page where you can see those major differences. Now over to page 2 of the White Rod. Again, this is general fund. And you see under revenues, I'm just highlighting the major differences here for you, so you can pick these out in the golden rod or the white rod. Under 2006 budget bill, the House is at 91.2 and the Senate at 51.6. Now, the Senate position, the 51.6, is the, and it says there, House and Senate, H&S, sales tax on food. That's the cost of removing the sales tax on food to the general fund, $51.6 million. The House is $40 million more, more of an appropriation from the general fund. That's because part of our PMTF money comes from the general fund, because those severance taxes flow general fund, and then over the cap they go budget reserve account. So $40 million of our, the House's severance tax flow would go to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, and that's why it shows as a deduction to the as an appropriation in the budget bill. And that's why we're that much higher. And then you can see I've also made a box there for transfers in from the budget reserve account to maintain the $10 million. That's just a budget balance, and it really doesn't mean a heck of a lot other than to show you that that's what we had to appropriate from general fund to leave a $10 million balance in the general fund. The third block that I have made there are the appropriations from the 2006 budget bill. And you can see that we're only $20 million apart. And those are essentially, let's go to the next page, page 3. And you can see the budget reserve account there. Under revenues at the top, you see the 2006 budget bill. Our House status shows $86.4 million appropriation. That's the other component of our Permanent Mineral Trust Fund savings, because that is the amount that would flow to the budget reserve account, but were we not peeling off that other 0.5%. and I state that it's the House AMTF Budget Reserve Account portion. And that budget reserve account amount of 86.4, along with the general fund amount of 40 million, makes up the total $126 million appropriation into the KMTF and the House status. And under budget reserve account appropriations, you will see transfer to Portland Mineral Trust Fund. The Senate's position is $200 million. The House's is $400,000. That's because of our savings flow comes directly from the severance tax. The Senate's KMTF flow comes from the budget reserve account and would only occur on June 30th of 2008, on the last day of the next biennium that we're budgeting for now. And that's why they show that large amount under budget reserve. Under 2006 budget bill amendments, the next block, where it says House and Senate difference on budget bills, that's really the House and the Senate difference on what we appropriated in the three readings in the House from the budget reserve account of about $32 million. The next block down is the $86.5 million of total funds available, total balance available. That's the 5% statutory reserve that we will leave in. We are not statutorily obligated to do that, but we have historically done that. The governor is statutorily required to present a budget that has a 5% statutory reserve, and we typically just match that. And then under the stabilization, legislative stabilization reserve account, there at the bottom of page 3, you can see that the total amounts that translate over to the first page of the Y-Rod. On page 4, we have the school foundation program. And you can see under the subtotal line under appropriations, what we appropriated in 05 and 06 of $1,007,000,000. And then the status of the House and the Senate, but $1,144,000,000. Under the school capital construction account below that, you'll see the block, the first block. Those two numbers in there, total revenues available before transfers. Maybe I confused myself on that one. Let's see. The net revenues available after transfers are $686 million, and that's in the first column, which is the 0506 Greg status. I drew a line down to the block below that says that's the 2005 budget bill transfer out to the budget reserve account. That's what we put in last year into the school capital construction account. Look at the line that says FY05-06-07-08 capital construction, and I've lined that all the way across. And below that, I wrote $180 million carryover from 05. So of that $332 million, $180 million of that is really available to be expended and hasn't been encumbered by contracts. So we're actually carrying over $180 million in addition to then follow that line across the $164 million we are appropriating. So it certainly looks as though we're appropriating less in 07 and 08 for school capital construction, but that is by virtue of that large carryover. And that large carryover was one of the things that led us to take some of the action on the school capital construction bill that we did about the project of opportunities account and those types of things. We gave the school fund, school facilities commission, greater flexibility in determining what projects would be identified there. But the subtotal there of $340 million in the 07-08 House status and the Senate status is what could be spent in the next biennium. And according to testimony of the JAC, well, the School Facilities Commission, we'll be lucky if we can spend that much money. And it does leave $8.5 million. You know, if by some circumstance we have a good year, a good biennium, and we can spend that much money on schools, we will certainly be looking to fund that some more. But if you're wondering to yourself how much will be coming to those accounts in the future, you can look up there under revenues and you see the estimated revenue for 07 and 08. That's about $174 million a year. Down a little bit from the $221 and $212 million that we did in 05 and 06. And that is an explanation of the white run. Happy to answer any questions.
Does anyone have any questions? Any questions or desire for their explanation? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Kelp.
Mr. Speaker. Well, I'd like to thank the teacher now, which is your long sheet of paper there. And that probably all digits on the first page there and go over to the top of the second page. But those are all, if you recall, and I know you all know this, but the identical amendments are right off the table at this point, and they will not be discussed in the conference committee. And I will go through and explain the amendments, the Senate amendments that are different from the House amendments. And if at any point you have questions, and especially if there are questions that I can't answer, I'd like to take a time out and confer with LSO and try to give you accurate answers. And so if you go over to the second page, where it says not a native amendments in bold there on the left on page 2. And these go in agency order as we went through the budget bill. And you'll see if you look down about in the middle of the page, you'll see S206A. And he's adopted. That is the first 2006. That's S206. That is the first one that the Senate adopted that we did not adopt. And that's the $33.6 million for the Wildlife Trust Fund account. If you look back on the one pager I gave you, you'll see that the House appropriated $20 million and the Senate appropriated $33.5 million for the Wildlife Trust. Going on down on the Department of Transportation, you'll see that there are quite a few differences there in various positions, various amounts that were appropriated. And that is a rather difficult one to sort out, and the conference will have to get into that and see how we can build all these different footnotes together, and we will delete and further amend and whatever we need to do to come to some sort of compromise on that. The Senate on 2054, they reduced 363 general fund and about 1.9 special revenue and 24 full-time positions. There was, of that 24 positions, 7 were Highway Patrol approved by JAC, 14 port of entries,
If you look on the far left-hand side, is that $363,000 general fund. The rest of that was all special revenue, highway money. More down, the next difference is S2005. In bold there it says, near identical to H263A. And it says use the House Amendment, and that was a recommendation from the LSO, and the House Amendment has slightly better language, but they are almost identical. The next one is S2004, added $166,900 general fund and $333,000 federal fund for health care financing. And that was two-year funding for an increase in the number of visits in the child health insurance program. S3019 also dealt with it was the increase in funding for child health insurance. S2045A, that added for incentives to dentists to encourage early children dental visits. That was discussed in JAC, and JAC did not adopt that one. S3025, that added $1 million for involuntary commitments and emergency detention if the Department of Health adopts these standards. And we talked about that in the third reading bill that we had. I believe this is the one that we discussed just a few minutes ago. S3029 is another one dealing with optional dental services to adults. And that was another one we discussed at JAC and did not adopt. Okay, going on down, the very bottom of page S2051A, we have $19 million general fund funding and funded liability of the law enforcement retirement program. And in JAC, we had a letter from the Department of Retirement, and that total, if we, and the payments would go on through 2018, but the total cost would be $48 million. So it's maybe now or maybe more later, actually, on that one. So I think we'll try to stick with what the JAC recommended there. The next one would be S2027 on page 3. And that was the 3 full times for the regional economic development offices in the business council. And we had a similar amendment that we defeated in the House. S2052 going on down, 3.2, they're going with 3.2 general funding for unfunded liability of the judicial retirement program. That's another one where JDC thought it was less expensive to pay that off now. 2053 reduced some two full-time positions from the Laramie County District Attorney's Office.
Are there any questions on that section? Any questions? Further explanation? Please proceed, Chairman Phil.
And Mr. Speaker, going on to capital construction, S3009, and $500,000 for Carissa Mine reconstruction. S3028 added $62.7 million, and this was on those projects for the
was the same as ours, except that, that they did not have a provision in there for the Eastern Miami College dorm. And they also didn't have the footnote language. Remember, we added in language for amendment to cover concerns on square footage and something else. Anyway, to keep them, if they build those, oh, and the major maintenance payments. And however, that footnote language only lasts 2 years, so about the time that, that they build those, best information I could get was that they, that, that footnote language would no longer apply anyway, so. And that's right, and they funded that with general fund dollars. We kept that interest as that we allowed to use private revenue for that.
Any questions on the capital construction?
No, but they kept dark. And I guess that it's still kept a private revenue. Well, that's right. Then going on in a later amendment, they added for the Eastern Wyoming College New Dormitory of 2039, they added that New Dormitory. And then in another amendment, the third reading, 312, they amended that to be general fund money, and that the general fund not exceeds 65% of the cost of the project.
Any questions on capital construction?
They also made a bigger
chairman job.
Reduced that by $1.4 million, if you look on the far left. Are there any questions on that? I need to take a quick time out.
Section 300, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The next Second Amendment is S-2007. That is their $30 million budget reserve account transfer to Water Development 3. The House is positioned. There is $25 million from the LSRA. The next one are the PMTF. The first, the two that you see there of S-3001, 0.01 and 0.02, those really don't have any effect. Those are after the budget balance or amendments right below that. So look at S-3030. That is the budget balance language, which moved. We had in the budget bill on the JAC 100 per year. They deleted the first year. Made the second year $200 million to the PMTF as long as there's at least $86 million left in the budget reserve account at that time. So if there was $275 million in the budget reserve account, it would only transfer $189. And so that's, those are the PMTF amendments right there. And then we're on the retiree, Mr. Chairman. The next section 303, this is where we get into the state employee market salary adjustments. And the retirees, the Senate, and you can see this on your one page, the Senate didn't adopt any of those under compensation. The $10.2 million for reversions for market and the executive branch, the $6.7 reversions for retiree health insurance, and the $500,000 for reversions for market and judicial. They didn't adopt any of those. And that's why you don't see any S amendments there. And then under agency 60, beginning with H2062,
and going down through S2055. That's all the local government House Bill 181 money. And if you look at your one pager, you can see that both House and Senate are $80 million general fund for direct distribution under the same formula, same percentages. That's Section 1. The Section 4 money, the $13 million for poor locals, is the same, identical. The only differences are in the House added $16 million for the non-impact and $10 million, or $26 million for the impact. The Senate is still at $100 million general fund for impact, and the House is at $126 million. With 110 of that for impact. Pardon me. That, no, there is no $10 million for matching funds on the Senate side. And then really the next one is on page 3 of the cheat sheet, which is the libraries. That's 2020. They put in the $12 million from the Budget Reserve account for libraries. The House's position is at $10 million. That one, because that one's subject to negotiation there. And then the last three Senate amendments on the page, S2033, that's $600,000 for health funding, for Health Information Exchange, Department of Health funding. A change of 2047, a change of date for local government direct distributions from June 30th to May 1st. And this was to take advantage of the construction season. And we were told that this really doesn't affect our financing or our finances. And then the last one is the UW Transportation and Parking Study. I'd like to go back quickly to page 2 under Department of Transportation. 045 agency. When you start with S2054, that's kind of two-thirds of the way down the page, when they reduce the $363,000 general fund and $1.9 statutory reserve or special reserve, and then 24 positions, and those are described, 7 highway patrol, 14 port of entry, 3 mile link, they added back in $1.2 for the special revenue, and the 14 full-time positions for port of entry. They then added back in the $793,000 special reserve and the 7 FTE for the highway patrol troopers, so the only difference is the $363,000 general fund and the 3 wildlife dispatchers. Right, special revenue, highway money is what SR is.
Any questions? Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, just a question on that very last one. It seems like that's a good way to add appropriations to your project. You start out with $1.9 million, and you cut it out, and then you come back and add, looks like over $2 million. And even have 3 less positions. You just seem kind of curious that that math didn't work out very well there. I just, that's something you can talk to him about.
Mr. Speaker, Prop 10.
Mr. Speaker, it is a little higher. You know, when you combine those numbers, I don't know why. We'll have to look back into those amendments, but. It still has the same 21 full-time, well, consider 21 full-time positions, and that leaves out the 3 wire link. And they added back in 2.4. When the original appropriation was 1.9, I can't tell you why. We'll have to take a look at that.
Chairman Fong.
We can't be sure about that until we visit with the Senate about that, actually.
But that was very perceptible. You didn't notice that.
Members of the House, I did want to point out, if you'll read your joint rules, it is optional if we have a straw poll vote on the Senate amendments to see our strength. I have taken the option this year that that really the differences and the number of differing amendments aren't nearly as substantial as they are in many years. And I've opted to avoid the straw poll so that the joint conference committees can get together and work on this as soon as possible. However, this is the time to ask and give guidance to the conference committee should you want to do so. Chairman Holloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are a couple items on the budget that I would like to. I've talked to the Speaker Pro Tem. He's on the conference committee, but I haven't had a chance to talk to the others. There's a couple items. The one item on the soil profile, that's $10,000 for the Department of Agriculture. That should be a throwaway, so to speak. I don't know why the Senate was, at one time, was for that. We got it on. That's for the Smithsonian Institution. That's one time only, $10,000. It doesn't come back again. It doesn't do anything. It's a one-time shot for a soil monograph at the Smithsonian Institution. So I would hope that, we spend more than that. I would hope that we could get that on. For that, it's going to look really funny if you go into the Smithsonian Institution and there's 49 states and we're not there. The second thing is we have worked extremely hard in this house for a number of years on state retirees, on health insurance. We've worked on state employees, salaries. We are losing state employees. We're having a hard time filling those jobs. We want to hire more state employees, so I don't know how whether they get paid more or less or whatever. But the 10.2 is reversions. It was requested by the man downstairs. We passed it. We've done the heavy lifting on that side. I would hope that the conference committee goes ahead and says, hey, we've messed around with state employees, retirees, insurance for health insurance for a number of years. We've had studies. We've agreed on this side that we do it. We've also agreed with the man downstairs that we get the $10.2 million for state employees. We've talked about the judicial retirees. We've talked about LSO. Let's hold a course on that. That's where we ought to be, and if we don't pay our state employees, it's wrong. We expect them to do work. We expect them to come to work. We expect them to do things, and we're not paying. And they're going to higher paying jobs.
Chairman Lennon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to address the savings to the Permanent Federal Trust Fund. I thought that was pretty far-sighted that the Joint Appropriations Committee had gone in with $200 million, and you know, these assets, this is our only time we're going to see revenue from. Those are now pumped out of the ground or dug out, and they're gone. And so in order to not eat our seed corn, but to save some for future generations of legislators and citizens of Wyoming, I sure like the original proposal of adding $200 million, and I would hope the committee could hold on to that. And the other proposals that you have as far as shifting new revenues into the permanent fund also and keep that at 3% of the severance. And I just think future generations will certainly thank us for that. They're going to have a lot of problems of their own, and they'll have a revenue stream to work on.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I might be asking for the impossible, but here's what I think would be very helpful to the majority of House members, is if when we start into these analyses, we get kind of an overview first before us that are not working on the appropriations, the conference committee, haven't gotten up to speed on some of these things. So I think a general overview, if possible, I know that's a very difficult thing to do in this, but I think it'll help all of us better understand where we're sitting. When we get into the detail, we can stay with you, but we need the overview first, or at least I do. I think that'd be very helpful, and it's a difficult chart to a committee that's already working hard, but I think it's important.
President McCauley. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, and I guess I'm going to follow up along with the good representative from Cheyenne's comments about the retiree insurance that went down over there 14-16. Pretty strong position from what has been in the past in the Senate. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to talk about the budget process we've gone through, and I know we were getting frustrated, and I know we did a lot of talking about it, but I really think this year, as we go through these handouts, and that even some of the new members, I should be speaking for them, understand the process better. The way that it's displayed is easier to follow. And I'd like to compliment you and the Senate and our Appropriations Committee people for a job well done on this. The fact that we are this tight makes a big difference, I think, and I think it was because we spent a lot of time. I'm really frustrated, but we better understood the issues when we were done. Thank you.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I guess I have the confidence of the Conference Committee, and if we hear a lot more detail, they got a lot of work to do, we got a short time frame. I would encourage that we just go ahead and let them do their magic.
Thank you. You have in front of you, it was just barely passed out, the Standing Committee report on Senate File 1. Under our rules, the Senate File 1, which is the Senate's version of the budget, comes directly to the House. We refer directly to the Appropriations Committee. They submit their report, and really what we have been discussing is technically this report, as it identifies the Senate amendments. I need a motion to accept the Standing Committee report. Chairman Phillips, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Standing Committee report is adopted. Any further questions about the budget? Chairman Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, just to address some of the issues that were brought up, this exhibit state employees for a better trust fund. The committee, as far as I'm concerned, we're going to represent the House position to the best of our ability. But we recognize that we won't get everything we want. And in the end, we'll come up with hopefully what's a good compromise. So, and as far as a general overview, and I don't know at what point to represent one to have that, I thought we kind of gave one already for where we're at right now, but when you're talking to people, the one pager with my name on the top is. If you study that a little bit, that should give you a good starting point for a general overview of this piece of paper that I'm holding up right now. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Under the budget bill procedure specified in Joint Bill 14-1, Senate File 1 is referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members. From each House to meet and resolve the differences between the House with respect to both budget bills, House Bill 1 and Senate File 1. And as a refresher, the conference committee appointed on the House side is Representative Phil Chairman, Anderson, Martin, Korberg, and Simpson. This majority floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m. this day.
Thank you. Any committee announcements?
Mr. Speaker,
Chairman Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your name, number 10, program for social services will meet immediately to discuss interim topics in H10.
Thank you, Chairman Osborne. Chairman Dillon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, corporations, elections, and political subdivisions will meet immediately in House 18 to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, transportation, highways, military affairs will meet immediately on adjournment in H17 to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We will meet Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock for interim studies.
Chairman Musselberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, House Education, will meet today upon adjournment to discuss interim topics.
Any other announcements? Chairman Hageman.
Mr. Speaker, the House Joint Agriculture for the Trans Water Resource Committee will meet with the Senate March 8th at 12 o'clock at noon at room S15 for interim study discussions.
Thank you, Chairman Hageman. Members of the House, just as you planned this supposedly last week in session, a couple of things to keep in mind. The Conference Committee on the Budget certainly has first priority. They will be working as much as possible to attempt to reach a resolution and give us a conference report. We then vote on the conference report. Once it's accepted by both houses, if it is, then we do some final tallying of numbers. We take the budget down to the executive branch for their approval or disapproval. That could take up to 3 full days. So therefore, we're hoping to, we do not want to be out of session before that 3 days lapses in case there should be some recommended changes to the budget. With extension of the committee of the whole for 1 additional day, it would be my best guess there's a decent chance of being here Saturday morning. So as you plan accordingly. Anything else? Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, if you had any discussion concerning management council to give our committee, here's a chance to sit out there and what do you expect to be on their topics.
Thank you, Chairman Childers. I do not have a date for that management council meeting. But it will be, if I had to give you a guess, it would be Thursday or Friday. Well, I do have a date on the management council meeting, I guess. And what would that be if someone will help me? Management council will meet Thursday, March 9th, 2006, upon adjournment of the House and Senate. Thank you. We're in recess till 2 p.m.